Hey, 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 welcome to Self-Reliance Exposed, brought to you by Backwoods Home Magazine. Colorado Ron, you there?
I'm here, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, you know, it's another Saturday, right? Or at least will be when they hear this.
That's right, that's right.
So how's everything been going? How's the weather been over there?
Oh, man, the weather is beautiful. That's the part I love about Colorado. Yesterday I was in shorts and running around getting things done. It was a little nippy, but wasn't bad.
Really? We've had most of our days have been, probably highs of the 40s, and we've had some nights down into the teens. Luckily it's looking better. It's looking better for this week. Today's probably in the 50s, and I don't think it was right at freezing last night. I think it was right at 32. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get a little bit of warmer weather, and I can try to finish up some last chores. Either that, or I just wish winter would get here and be done with it.
Do you have snow on the ground over there?
No, we have still not gotten snow, although we've gotten a lot of ice. But I was joking with my wife that I might have to mow the lawn outside. We have a couple of days it's freezing, and they say it's not good to mow your lawn in the wintertime because if you trim it too low and then it freezes, it'll kill the roots. We've had so many days of warm weather that I probably got 2 inches of grass, and it looks really shaggy, and I'm like, I just want to go out there and mow it again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way ours was. I mean, it kind of stopped there for a little bit in like October. And then it just picked up again and grew a little bit more. And I pulled lemons off of my lemon tree that just turned yellow about 3 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean.
It's all global warming. That's what it is. It's global warming and the fiscal cliff. It's responsible for everything. Responsible for everything.
That's right.
That's my theory. And I'm sticking to it.
I'm sure we can figure out a way to make it to blame all that on Bush.
That's right. That's it. It's the fiscal cliff and global warming, which was all brought to us by the Bush administration 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's see. Hey, it seems like what we're going to start moving towards, which I'm happy with as we get into Christmas, is maybe double stacking some of our guests. And this is our first week. The first segment of the show.
Our first week. We double-stacked last week.
Oh, I stand corrected. That's right. Last week we had Jack Spirko and Masad Ayoub.
Yeah, that was a double combo that I loved right there. That was a good one.
That was a good show. And lots of food for thought. We'll have to talk about that here in a minute again. But this week we have Jared Winger. And you're very familiar with Jared, so I'll let you kind of talk about who he is.
Yeah, Jared Winger, he has... He was in the he was the vice president of an internet marketing company and was introduced to essential oils. And I guess he had several relatives that had pretty severe medical problems. And when he saw that the healing powers of the essential oils, he got intrigued so much so that he actually quit that job and is full timing. Working with essential oils and understanding them more and doing, training with those, with the essential oils. He does classes at the expo. A lot of people know him from there. So
now what I hate to, I know we don't promote any specific product, but Jared, what companies does Jared work for? What essential oils?
Jared works for doTERRA or works with doTERRA. Yeah. So, I mean, he works with doTERRA, does, he strictly sticks with the doTERRA line of essential oils. But, the principles are all the same, and that's what hopefully we'll talk about today.
Okay, the principles. That's awesome. And then later in the show, we're going to do – some of you guys have been with us a long time, but those of you who haven't, about 8-9 months ago, we had a some of the people from Backwoods Home come on, and we had a we're discussing – Backwoods Home going digital. The market, you can't really get away from the digital revolution anymore. And we're both Colorado and I live this now, unfortunately. So Backwoods Home, jumping into the 20-whatever century, decided that they were going to take some of their issues and put them digitally on for the iPad and iPod and Nook and Cranny and whatever else they have out there. And also they were going to make it where you could get your subscriptions digitally. And, you know, their goal was to try to have some of this up by the end of this year. And so we're going to touch base with Al and Ann Boley. Al is their technical manager, and he's going to give us an update on where they are with going digital.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And then, you know, as always, we'll do Homestead Finders.
Yep.
And
Homestead Hunter. Yep.
Homestead Hunter, thank you. And hopefully you have a good one, you know, this week.
Of course, always.
Yeah, well, not always, but the last one was so spectacular. I think you're going to have a hard time, you know, finding something as good as that last one.
Tell me about that. I believe last we talked, you were going to make a trip up there.
And I did. I went out and took a look at it. And I'll tell you what, if some reason. I was going to move out to Michigan because, you know, I have an office out there. I work out there, and I'm going out there constantly. If I had to move to Michigan back for work, I would buy this place. Hands
really?
Down. Oh, yeah. It was very, very cool. Great lot, great area. Now, there's work that has to be done. This is definitely a fixer-upper. But, you know, the fireplace, the size of the rooms were massive. The number of outbuildings were great. It wasn't a tremendous drive, you know, into Detroit, although that was one of the downsides for me, which is, I mean, I didn't cross the Canadian border, but you're really close to the Canadian border, and there's a little town there.
Okay.
So that's great, and there's a town. It's a bridge, and there's a town on the U.S. side and a town on the Canadian side, which were both very convenient, but not large. But your closest large city is Detroit, and I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm sure we have listeners in Detroit, and if you do, I apologize. Detroit scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure we got listeners up there, and guys, I'm sorry, but, you know, every time that I've been to Detroit, I've had issues, and I don't know. Detroit is kind of nerve-wracking.
I mean, especially as a prepper, I mean, if you've read One Second After or anything, you know, the marauding horde always leaves these big cities and heads up towards the hills, and being so close to the Canadian border and everything else, I could just see the beeline going right up.
That's a good point.
So, you know, although if you're not worried about total collapse and just worried about things just getting tough because of the fiscal cliff that was caused by George Bush's administration, then you're probably okay. But, yeah, Detroit is such a big city, and there's so much unemployment in that area around there that I would just be worried that, you know, people would be pounding on my door and nothing flat.
I agree. That was kind of nerve-wracking. And honestly, I calculated it out for us. You know, I looked at it. I seriously looked at it for us as a family to move out there. And but it's just so far from everybody we know. I'm not afraid of moving away from our friends and family, but you know, as parents get older and, you know, relatives, you know, my wife just had a cousin pass away, you know, things like that. And you're looking at it, and it's like a 20-hour drive to get back to the, you know, just to the edge of family for us was just too far.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. And here's the thing. You know, when we moved to Iowa, we were moving up to something. I mean, is this ideal? No. I mean, and when I say not ideal, there's places that I think I would prefer to go. And on top of that, there's also, you know, I'd rather be out in the country than in the little town. But other than that, we were moving up to something. We had family here. And to move away, to find a place even as great as this one is and completely move away from all your support system and everything else just to get away, I don't necessarily think is always the best best solution.
I agree 100%. And, you know, and Jack Spirko said it really well the other day. I was listening to his podcast, and one of the things that Jack said was that, you know, he moved up to Arkansas to get away. And he said that was fine and dandy for the couple of years that they were up there. But really what it comes down to is being close to family. It's that, you know, every time they turn around, they had to drive back to Dallas for family, you know, birthdays or whatever. And it was just hard being away. And it's just it's really nice to have family close. So, you know, keep that in mind that it is nice for a little while, but you do want to come back and visit family. And so you might want to, you know, even our family, who sometimes doesn't seem as close as we should be, we still enjoy, you know, seeing each other, you know, pretty regularly.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, now that I'm up here and everything else, I think that that's a smart bet. Unless you're someone that can completely be independent from someone and you don't have kids and things like that, I think that making sure that you have some sort of support system is very, very important.
Yep, agreed.
So let's jump into – I want to go back to the conversations from last week.
Okay.
You know, we said that we'd kind of talk about some things. I realized this week – and actually, I still have to pick up a 22 Magnum from you.
Yep, I got it.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I've been out here doing some trapping, and, well, I've been learning to do trapping with my brother-in-laws, and we're teaching the kids. And – one of the things you really need when you're trapping is you need to have a utility 22, a pistol.
Yep.
And, you know, because a lot of times, and this is really right up your alley. I thought about this the other day because you did this kind of, you did it for a living, but from a pest control side as opposed to a, you know, trapping the skin and to do all the other stuff.
Right. I did it. It was more nuisance wildlife I did it from. Yeah.
Right. You know, but, you know, sometimes you'll catch these animals and they're still alive and you don't want them to suffer, so you need to shoot them in the head. And it's the nicest thing that you can do for them.
Yep.
And I realized for the first time that I don't actually have a 22 revolver, a 22, other than a couple of rifles.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so now I'm on this mission to go out there and start looking up, and it's just like, man, it's just so overwhelming the number of weapons that are out there and what you have to choose from and the price. You know, when I bought my first 22 rifle, I think it was like $87.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and you really couldn't spend much more than that. I mean, you might have gotten it up to 100. You could get them down as low as 50. Now, I'm not going to say how old I am, but I mean, that was basically what you were looking at.
Right.
You know, now, a new 22 pistol will run you anywhere from $190, so we'll call it $200 in the low end, but they go up to $1,400, $1,500.
Oh yeah,
for a 22. It's just like a standard revolver. I'm just amazed at. But they've got, I mean, the bells and whistles they have on these things are just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, 22 long run. I mean, 20. You know, there's, you know, obviously we're talking about two different 22s here, but the 22 long is an impressive gun just because of the fact that it is just so versatile. You know, like you said, for dispatching animals when you're setting trap lines, things like that, it's easy to carry. It does make a bang, which 9 times out of 10 scares whatever you're shooting at. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. It's just a highly versatile round. The 22 mag that you got, which is the Kel-Tec PMR-30, which we bought. We both now own one of those, and that's just crazy fun. I mean, 30 rounds in a clip. I mean, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I said, well, I've got to go pick this up from Colorado, but the shooting a raccoon in the head with the 22 Magnum just seems like a waste of the round, and you know, we'll probably end up doing more damage than I need to the pelt.
Yeah, I don't know. Give it a try. I mean, it definitely makes a bigger bang, but it's so light and easy to carry that might outweigh the damaging the pelt. You're not going to use the part of the head pelt anyway, so you know, I would give it a shot. 22 mag would be fine, I think.
Yeah.
especially at close range, it's just going to go right through.
Yeah, it'll definitely go right through.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, we're enjoying it. We've been out. I went out this morning. Yesterday morning I went out, and we had a coyote.
Oh, nice.
Snare. And
snare traps? Okay.
Well, we've been setting just standard foot traps. We've been setting snares, and we've been setting conibears, which are And so we have a little bit of each. This morning I went out, and we had now I can't even remember what they're called. Muskrats.
Oh.
And we had and then we had a possum.
I hate those animals. Right.
With possums?
Possum, yeah.
Yeah, possums are nasty creatures. It's kind of funny. My brother-in-law looked at it, and he's like, well, you get it, and you carry it. I mean, because, you know, when you get any of the other animals, when we get a coon, when we get the coyote, you know, we get any of the other animals, for the most part, you pick them up, you take them. They're not horrible, especially since it's so cold out, so they're kind of frozen. Possums stink. I mean, I don't care how frozen they are or whatever.
Yeah.
And I go every morning and run the trap line, so they're not there for very long. You know, we check them before it gets dark just to confirm everything's set up, and then I usually get up, and I'm there picking them up at 6:30 in the morning, and so they've been just there overnight, and they're frozen. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't make a difference. That possum stinks even frozen.
Yeah, they're a nasty animal. They really are.
And they're ugly.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the funny facts about them is they do not have very very strong jaws. You can actually grab one, and I've done this several times, where I'll actually grab them while they're live, and they'll turn around to bite you, and it's nothing. It's like whatever. And just grab them and stick them in the cage. But they got this such a mean look to them, and they make all these hissing sounds, and they got these huge-looking teeth, and they just look mean, but it's all an act.
Well, I mean, that's probably what they have going for them, right? They do. They're giant rats. That's exactly what they are. Just, you know, 20-pound rats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. They are just so ugly. And you know, the problem is they are a really big nuisance animal. I mean, they'll get into your chickens. They'll get into just about anything. And, you know, what a pain in the butt.
Yep. But, no, again, going back to the 22, though, 22 is great for all that small game hunting as well. You know, I've hunted many a squirrel and raccoon and possum with a 22. So.
No, I do. I love the 22. I think it's one of the best, most, yeah. And I've got tons of 22s. I just have tons of 22 rifles.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I never really saw the purpose of a 22 pistol, and now I'm regretting it. So, yeah, and you know, Masad was talking about that. It's like you need to sometimes take a look at your inventory, and it's like, you know, being deep in 9mm doesn't really give you a lot of flexibility.
Well, that's true. That's a good, you know, that is a good point. And again, that's why I love my Governor. Because I do have the flexibility of shooting three different rounds out of that thing, so I can do everything from pheasant hunting all the way down to deer hunting with it.
Three different, not three different calibers, three different rounds.
Three different rounds, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was kind of confused there for a second.
Actually, you can do three different calibers as well because I also bought the adapters to put 22 long in the cylinders. So I can actually shoot 22 long out of it. I can shoot 45 ACP, 45 long Colt, and 410.
Wow. So so basically, is it a sleeve or is it a replacement of the? Okay.
No, it's a sleeve that goes in it. So you put all six sleeves in there if you're going to go 22, and then I put 22s in it and shot it, and it worked fine, worked beautifully. So.
All right. Okay, let's jump into our homestead hunter real quick, and then we got to get ready to talk to Mr. Winger.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we've got this next one. I'll post it up on Facebook there, / Colorado Ron page. We'll post it up there so you guys can see the link. Let's see here, Bubba, you should have it. This one here is a little interesting. I kind of debated back and forth on this one, to be honest with you. And I actually looked at this one myself again. You know, I kind of look at things and I try to find something that I would be interested in. What I like about this one is it's completely dried in. It's a beautiful home. It really is. It's a beautiful home. It's on 2.5 acres, so 2.5 acres, and it's listed at 135, and it's out of Malad, Idaho, which is just north of the Utah border, in between, right around that Bear Lake area, and between Logan, Utah, and Pocatello, Idaho. So it's about halfway in the middle. It's not very far. It's, I don't know, maybe it takes you an hour at the most to get to the airport. That was our criteria. Again, for those that are new listeners, our criteria for this is it has to be at least an acre, I think is what we agreed on. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and it has to be under $150,000. Now, the one thing I didn't like about this one is if you read in the descriptions, it talks about no cattle. So there are restrictions on the property. You'd have to – it looks like you have to get more involved. It says HOA fees, but, horses are maybe allowed. And so you'd have to research this one just a little bit just to make sure that you can have what you want there. I assume that no cattle doesn't mean no chickens or, I'm sure you can have chickens and horses – chickens, horses, rabbits, quail – things like that. I am a little nervous about the no cattle thing, and the HOA kind of freaks me out. So I would call on it to give a little bit more information. But it's got a huge wraparound porch. This is a beautiful home. It's got a detached, large, oversized 2-car garage on 2.5 acres, surrounded by the mountains. It's just beautiful, beautiful spot. What do you think?
I'm on the fence about this one. I'll tell you what, the building is beautiful. I love the building. I am very anti-homeowners association now.
Yeah.
Because they can change the rules at any time. And so you get a couple people in there, and, I lived in a homeowners association area down in Texas, and we had beaver that got into our little pond, lake, whatever you want to call it. And we're just eating the crap out of the trees and killing all the trees in the area, which cost the HOA money to plant the things. And they spent thousands of dollars hiring a wilderness expert to come over and tell us, well, yeah, you got a beaver. And then, and then they all got together and decided that they wanted to try to capture it and relocate it. Gosh. And, and you go through all this process. And the problem is that, you have one time the HOA will be very – you'll agree with them, and then you get someone else that's elected into it and everything else, and all of a sudden all the rules change, and your kids can't ride bikes, and the people don't want you to have chickens, and, so I don't know. I'm very anti-HOA just for the simple reason that you have no control over your property. Someone gets voted in, and a group of people decide what you can and you can't do with your property.
I agree 100%. But if you look at this one, it's a little bit different because it's not in a – it looks like it's the only building in the supposedly subdivision. I mean, there's no buildings around there other than another small cabin that's for sale as well. So it looks like a guy bought a bunch of land, put 2 or 3 buildings, homes up that was trying to sell them that didn't sell, and now he's just wanting to sell the whole thing. That's what it looks like.
Well, no, I see. If you actually zoom out, there's actually quite a few. I can count about 10 houses. I mean, they're not exactly on that side, but they're probably all. My guess is you're right. A company came in and bought, or a person, bought 100, 200 acres and then basically made ranchettes.
Yeah,
two to five acres. I can see some of these look like they're probably on much larger pieces of land, maybe 10 acres, and then some of these are on smaller. But at least on this image, this Google Maps that I'm looking at, like there, it looks like there's probably a 5 or 7 acre parcel that doesn't have anything on it yet, but the road little thing pops into it.
Yeah.
So I think you probably will get building there eventually. It just they've got a lot of roads that are already done. And then the bigger thing is it's really close to an interstate.
Let's see. Well, I kind of like that.
Oh, but we're talking like less than a mile. I mean, it's like blocks from Interstate 15.
Oh yeah, I guess. Well, I guess it is kind of close. I'm less than a mile from the interstate here.
Yeah, but you're in suburbia, right? I mean, if you were looking to get out someplace, I would assume I don't know. I'm on the fence on this one. That's just me. If I could buy that building and transplant it someplace, they did a fantastic job on the building.
Yeah, the house is just beautiful. And this is dried in. This is what's kind of unique about this property, and the reason why I went back and forth whether to select this one or not, is what's unique about this property is it's just a dried in home. It's not completed. And so you can pretty much, the basement is wide open to do what you want with. Upstairs is wide open to do what you want with. So that's why it really intrigued me.
Now, well, I think it's a good choice. If you're looking for a little bit of suburbia, you need access to a road, and 15 is a great road because it runs all the way down to Salt Lake. And realistically, I believe it runs all the way down to Vegas. I think 15 is the one that we took the one time I went to Utah. On a business trip, I think we drove from Las Vegas up on 15. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that 15 runs all the way down to Vegas.
Yes, it does. Uh-huh.
So, it's like I said, beautiful building. I mean, if everything else is okay and you can stand in HOA, I mean, I agree with Colorado. Call on this one. Ask them, what does it mean that it has an HOA? It's not much of an HOA when there's only five houses. Yeah.
Right. So. Right. And you can also talk to and I've done this before I moved into a place, is I'll actually go to an HOA meeting, or I'll call and talk to the HOA president, just kind of get their feel. And, you know, you can usually get a feel of talking to them for 10, 15 minutes, you know, whether they're pretty relaxed about things or whether they're really strict about things.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get ready. We're going to go ahead and jump off for a quick word from Backwoods Home Magazine. And when we get back from that commercial, we will be live with Jared Winger. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you guys in a few.
Hi, this is Jay Steven Stoller for Backwoods Home Magazine. If you like the program you're listening to right now, consider subscribing to Backwoods Home Magazine. Call 1-800-835-2418. Or go to www.backwoodshome.com and click on the subscribe button. Every issue of Backwoods Home Magazine is over 100 pages, packed with solid self-reliance advice by experts who tell you how to survive in these unpredictable times. Call 1-800-835-2418.
All right, welcome back to Self-Reliance Exposed with Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. Hey, Colorado, you ready to get the Jared on?
Yeah, you bet. Let's get the Jared on.
The Jared. I was thinking about the other day, and every time he gets up on stage and everything else, he's got such a presence. And when somebody was asking who he was at the last show that he was at, I did exactly that, and I said, well, that's the Jared. and then after that I kept joking around about it. So now he's the Jared.
The Jared.
All right. So let's call Jared Winger and get him online so we can talk about essential oils. One second here. Technology. I shouldn't do that because then people will realize how long it takes me to get this done. All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Ron?
Jared, how's it going?
Going great.
Hey, this is Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
All right.
Good. Thanks for jumping on with us last minute there, Jared.
Yeah, no problem. Always happy to talk with you guys.
Great.
So I was just telling a story to Colorado Ron. Yeah, you're now being presented as the Jared.
The Jared.
The Jared. Yeah. Because at the I was explaining that the last show, you were speaking and someone was listening to you and they saw me walking by and they grabbed me and go, "Hey, who's this guy speaking up on stage?" And I was running around so much and I was and everything else. I looked up and go, "Oh, that's the Jared." And and then after that, it was like every time someone came up, I started saying, "Well, that's the Jared," kind of joking around. So now you're the Jared.
The Jared.
I guess that works, especially since, you know, now there's a Jared jewelry store and Jared from Subway. So we got distinguished between all of them somehow.
That's right. And, but you are the Jared.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, well, hey, we wanted to talk with you because, you know, first of all, there's a couple of things. You know, winter's coming on. You know, December, January, February are usually the coldest months. For some reason, more people seem to get sick during those times.
Yep.
And so we wanted to cover, you know, one of the things that we love about the expo is we get to all these classes, and so we had the opportunity to listen, and we realized that, you know, essential oils plays a key role in a lot of our health if we allow it, and so we wanted to talk with you about that and kind of get people a quick introduction to essential oils, and then we wanted to talk about some of the more common things that, you know, such as sickness, you know, winter sickness is coming on. We want to talk about diabetes, and, you know, and things like that. So let's start off with essential oils. What are they?
Sure. Essential oils are the lifeblood of the plant. And so a lot of people are familiar with herbs, you guys, and use herbs, you know, religiously, especially in emergency type of situation. Herbs are very powerful. But the difference, and this is the closest thing I can relate them to, because they come from the same plants, but they're much, much, much more concentrated. So they're a lot more potent. On average, they're about 70 times more potent than their herb counterparts.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So, yeah, so, you know, it takes very, very little to go a long ways. And like I said, they work much faster because it's not the whole plant. Your body doesn't have to digest it. It's already in its readily usable, you know, form. And but they're very powerful. And to give you an idea and give the listeners an idea, you know, there's a lot of people that use peppermint for, you know, breathing issues, peppermint for indigestion or nausea, for headaches. The list goes on and on and on. A lot of properties in peppermint. But to give you a comparison, you know, it takes 2,000 pounds of just the leaf, just the peppermint leaf, not counting the rest of the plant, just the leaf to produce approximately 12 ounces of oil.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of plant, you know, that
they're
putting into just.
Is that why you see all those huge lavender fields that are just, like, go on for miles and miles in some of those pictures?
Well, absolutely. And depending on what they're using the lavender for, there's a lot of applications for lavender. I'm sure a good percentage of it is used for essential oil because it takes, you know, again, with any plant, in some plants it takes a lot more to produce a little bit of oil, but, you know, lavender doesn't take as much as, say, peppermint, but it still takes a lot to produce a little bit.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now, one of my questions, you know, one of the problems that I seem to be running into everywhere I go is diabetes. I don't know what the deal is, but it's just kind of like spiking or something, at least in my circles.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Bubba here that has it. I've got a friend across the street here that has it. My father has it. I have a grandfather that I never met because he died of diabetes before I was born. You know, so I'm completely surrounded by it. I'm borderline diabetic myself. So I've heard that essential oils can help with that. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So diabetes, again, it depends on whether you are looking for the miracle cure-all, right, which, you know, as much as I would like to say, hey, the oil will fix everything, and there is an oil for everything, but you have to understand cause and effect and why we get certain things. So like diabetes, You know, if we had a whole hour just to spend on just diabetes or disease in general, you know, we go into some of the causes of why people, you know, get diabetes. And it's not just because of dumb luck, you know, but I think in general with the population, I think because of lack of education on what causes it and how to prevent it, as well as how to treat it naturally, I think because we lack the education, it's this mysterious, you know, it's kind of like the C word with cancer, you know, it scares people. And so, but in terms of helping and preventing as well as managing diabetes using essential oils, there's quite a few that will help. You know, cinnamon being one of them. Cinnamon, again, what I love about the essential oils, and let me just kind of step back real briefly and fill your listeners in on what attracts me to the essential oils. Okay. The essential oils are science based. And when people start to realize that almost all Western medicine, you know, in the form of pharmaceuticals or over the counter medications or prescriptions or antibiotics, you know, they're all synthetic because they can't patent anything naturally occurring in nature like a plant or an herb or an essential oil. And so they have to create it synthetically. And so just to have it make sense for the listeners, when they understand that almost all of those synthetic, you know, medications are derived from plant medicine. They come from plants, okay? But they have to recreate them synthetically so they can patent them. And unfortunately, that's just the way the world works. And so, you know, there's specific plants that help with diabetes, and if you get it in its concentrated form with essential oils, it's going to be that much more effective. So like cinnamon, university studies show that cinnamon naturally controls insulin levels. Okay?
Really?
You know, absolutely, absolutely. Coriander, you know, something interesting about coriander is I learned about this from Dr. Hill. And there was a patent that was filed with this new, and this is about 2 years ago, this new diabetes medication for diabetics, and it was supposed to be, it was going to save thousands of lives, and it was going to, you know, naturally control insulin levels, it's going to naturally control your diabetes in general. And you go into the patent, and of course it's using all these scientific names, but when you drill down into the names, all they were using was the synthetic form of coriander. Okay? That's all it is. They can't patent coriander, okay? And so they have to recreate the properties that are so powerful. So, for example, if something is you know, antibacterial or anti-inflammatory, you know, there's properties in oils that are very anti-inflammatory. And so if they want something that contains anti-inflammatory properties, they have to recreate those compounds or constituents within the oils, but they have to do it synthetically so that they can patent it. And so it's no different with diabetes medication. It's no different, you know, what they're doing with coriander.
Wow. Okay, so coriander and cinnamon.
You know, there's other ones as well. And rosemary has, you know, been a really popular oil for diabetes, and I know that there's lots of studies on each of these oils. There's thousands of studies. You can go look them up online. Sometimes you have to know the scientific name to be able to look up studies, but they're all there. And the facts that were made that, you know, all these medications that we have today were derived from plant medicine. You know,
right.
And to tell your listeners why it would make more sense, you know, just from a logical viewpoint, to use essential oils is because essential oils don't have the negative side effects that you're going to experience. See, anything Western medicine, and we're grateful for it when we need it, but what people, you know, realize either too late or don't understand it while they're taking their medications is that anything synthetic is going to have negative side effects. You know, sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term, oftentimes both cases. But with oils, because they're all natural, you're not going to have those side effects, you know. And, you know, specifically having to do with diabetes and rosemary, there's studies that show that rosemary actually lowers glucose levels all while increasing insulin in at least, you know, I mean, the studies that you can look up.
Interesting. Okay. Now the I'm gonna start researching this because we got a lot of people, like I said, I know that have issues with diabetes, and being that I'm borderline, I think I'm gonna at least start taking cinnamon to see. And one of the things that we probably ought to let people know is I've noticed this, that everybody's different, and so their reactions to these can be different as well. That's why, you know, there's always more than one essential oil to help with something, because sometimes something works for me great, but it doesn't work for my wife, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah, and it, probably what you're referring to. So any symptom or ailment that somebody suffers from, it doesn't mean they have that. So let's take a headache, for example. People don't get headaches for the same reasons, okay? There's 100 different reasons why somebody would get a headache. And so you can't just do throw them out of the wall and hopefully it works for everybody. There's a specific thing, again, cause and effect, that's causing that person's specific headache. And so in most instances, you can solve just an everyday average headache with something like peppermint. Okay, it works fantastic. And you'll know, because your headache should be gone within about 5 minutes, usually faster than that. Now, you know, when you get into the more severe headache, like a migraine, that's a totally different animal. Okay? And keep in mind, people get migraines for different reasons, just like they get normal headaches for different reasons. And so it could be as simple as being dehydrated, not drinking enough water. But if you're looking for relief, you know, the average headache, you're going to use peppermint. There's other ones you can use, too. You can use one of our blends called Deep Blue. You can use Wintergreen. But in terms of migraines, you know, the more serious headaches that people just want to go away now, you're going to want to use a blend called Past Tense. And it's for everything tension-based. And most migraines are caused by tension. And, it's okay if something doesn't work. Let's say something works for you, didn't work for your wife, Ron.
Uh-huh.
That's okay. That's pretty normal, because once you figure out which oil does work for her, then she can continue to use it. It'll always work for her. So my brother, who gets, you know, occasional migraines, I don't get migraines, so I can't really speak from experience with migraines, but he does, and, you know, most people can use Past Tense, and it works absolutely just fine. And for him, it wasn't working. And, you know, the properties are still the same in the Past Tense, but whatever was causing his headache, those specific properties weren't working for him. And so once he figured out what it was that took away his migraine, it's worked every single time since then.
Right.
Do
you know what it was that worked for him?
He's actually right here in the room. He traveled. What was it? Deep Blue? Deep Blue.
Deep Blue.
Just a blend of ours, which is kind of referred to as the pain blend. It's for muscle and joint pains, for bruises, anything that's inflamed. Most, you know, pain is caused by inflammation, and I suppose a lot of migraines can be caused by inflammation as well, and it's specifically formulated for pain, and that's what worked for him.
Okay, so now you've taught a lot of these classes, and you've also taught a ton of instructional classes at the expos, at the Self-Reliance Expo,
yes.
And so I'm kind of curious, you get feedback from the audience. What are some of the more common ailments or some of the more common oils that people probably should start looking for or use on a regular basis?
That's a great question. And yes, we do get a lot of individuals, especially after the classes, that come up to us and let us know what they're suffering from. And we try to match up based on properties of the oils on what we feel would work for them. And some of the more common ones, I mean, just in general, I teach hundreds of these classes nationwide, and I think the common thing is just an overall low immune system, a suppressed or depressed immune system, which means you're going to catch this everyday common cold. And at the beginning of the show, you mentioned, you know, we're coming upon winter. And in winter, yes, common cold, but any kind of sickness is usually a little easier to catch. And so what you want to do, I don't recommend just waiting until you get something and then, treating it. Of course, if you forgot from a preventive standpoint to take your oils so you don't get the cold and you end up getting a cold, yes, we have oils that will cut the downtime by about 3/4. You don't need to suffer through it and wait it out. You know, but I highly recommend coming from the viewpoint of preventative. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so make sure that, like for me, you know, it's been quite a while since I've had anything, you know, as well, you know, the sniffles, any kind of cold sore throat. I haven't had anything for about 2 years. And it was ever since I started taking one of our blends, which is known as our immune builder or immune support blend. It's called On Guard. Okay. And again, these blends are specifically formulated for very, you know, certain reasons. And this one not only boosts your immune system, but On Guard is one that, you know, has things like cinnamon, again, which is one of the highest known antioxidants. It has clove, which is the highest antioxidant on the planet. There's nothing higher than clove. There's not even a close second. You know, but clove also is extremely antibacterial. It's antifungal. It's antiparasitic. So there's a lot of properties in each of these oils. You throw all this together in a blend, and you're going to not only boost your immune system, but you're going to attack and kill whatever's invading your body. So if it's a bacterial infection, great. And one thing I want to point out, a huge difference, and one of the things that really attracts a lot of individuals to the oils is because they're used to Western medicine, they're used to antibiotics, okay? Antibiotics, and I think your listeners pretty much know this, but antibiotics, you know, they only work for, they're only capable of working for something that's bacterial-based, so a bacterial-based infection or illness, okay, or symptom. They cannot work for anything viral-based. And, you know, most sore throats and colds, they're all viral-based. And so they'll go to the doctor for it, they get diagnosed, but then the doctor says, there's nothing I can do for you. You know, you have to go home and wait it out. I'm sorry. You know, and typical downtime is 10 to 14 days, depending on what you have. Well, if you have oils, you know, there's a huge difference that I want to distinguish, okay? Yes, they'll work for anything bacterial-based if they're antibacterial. And what's great about the oil, it's not just one drug, one symptom like we get with Western medicine. If you have a symptom, here, take this drug. If you have another symptom, here, you need another. With the oils, they contain a whole myriad of different properties. So you can have, there's tons of oils that are both antibacterial and antiviral. But the real reason why an oil will work for something viral-based is because it can actually penetrate the cell. There's a fat-soluble cell membrane around the cell wall. And it's just the fact that viruses grow on the inside of the cell, whereas bacteria grow on the outside. And so that's why antibiotics will work for bacteria, is because bacteria grows on the outside of the cell. Anything synthetic can't penetrate that cell wall to get in where the virus is. Well, any oil can. So not only do you not have to suffer through it and wait 10 to 14 days, you can knock it out in a day, day and a half, 2 days maximum almost every time. And that's empowering to know, especially in an emergency situation, you know, where you're having to take care of your family or you don't have access to medicine, you know. You know, oils, they don't expire. There's no shelf life if they're pure. You know, so whenever you need them, they'll be there.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. You know, one of the things that we did this year is, you know, I had, you know, our youngest daughter, she's 4, and she had a bladder infection. And so I think we used, and my wife used oregano, I think is what you told her to use, and she used that and I think another one, and just rubbed it just on her stomach, and within 2 days she was back to normal. And I'm talking like, she would cry when she went to the bathroom. She would hold it because it hurt so bad, kind of effects. Yeah. And so we
were hard to watch. You know, our kids suffer.
Yes,
you know, and you're absolutely right. I love hearing stories like that because that's how people learn about the oil. You know, they're educated, but then it kind of boils down to just trying it out because you don't have to believe what I say. Whether you're skeptical or not, it doesn't change the fact that if something is, you know, like oregano is a very powerful antiviral agent, okay? It's also one of the most powerful antibiotics in the world, okay? You being skeptical doesn't change that. And so whether you're skeptical, it's still going to work on you. It doesn't matter. And so we rely on people going, trying them out, let the oil sell themselves because they're going to have an experience like you did with your daughter. And Ron, I know you've had quite a few experiences. That was definitely not your first.
No.
But, you know, and then people get hooked, and it saves them time, it saves them money. but just so many other benefits. And in addition to, you know, I already mentioned that you don't have the side effects that you would with normal medicine, but some other reason to use the oils is, you know, you're going to save a lot of money, but your body, you can't build up a resistance to the oils like you can in antibiotics. There's so many people that are completely immune, meaning the antibiotics will not work for them anymore, okay? And that just comes with the overuse of antibiotics. You take essential oils, you can't build up a resistance to them, and your body can't become addicted to them either, like pharmaceuticals. That's a huge growing problem here, especially in the United States. Not only people getting very, very sick, but a lot of people dying from, improperly using or overusing prescriptions because they're addicted to them.
Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, that was another thing is somebody had told me one time, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that you can't have the side effects. But I'm here to tell you, you rub some peppermint on your hands and then accidentally rub your eye. Let me tell you, I got some side effects, man. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. That was a side effect. I was crying like a baby.
Yeah, I guess if you count that as a side effect, you're absolutely right. Peppermint is one that has very strong vapors. It won't do any damage to the eye. Won't hurt the eye. But, yes, it will make your eyes water if you forget and kind of rub near your eye. So I guess those kind of side effects, I'll take those any day over synthetics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I know without a doubt. Now,
I've actually...
Good.
Speaking of peppermint, you brought a peppermint in your eye. I taught a class where, you know, as we pass around, when we're talking about specific oils, and we pass around those oils so people can experience them, put them on and smell them, you know, I used to always put them on as well, and I've kind of stopped doing that because on peppermint, I forget, and I have it on my hands, and during the class, you know, my eyes are all watering and stuff, and because I accidentally rubbed my eyes, so I know what you're talking about. It's definitely, you know when you do it, and you're like, oh, darn, I knew better, but I forgot.
Yeah, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
Now, so let's go back to some of the, as far as, you know, this show is about self-reliance. So, you know, we talk about, different aspects of essential oils, but one of the things that I found fascinating was the shelf life on these for us that have like food storage and we've got our pantry and we keep things in reserve for when there might not be a time that we can get to the hospital. Tell me a little bit about the shelf life on these puppies.
Well, as I mentioned before, there is no shelf life if they're pure. So if you just go to the health food store and you get your standard therapeutic grade oils, which any health food store is going to carry, they're going to have a shelf life. Typical shelf life is a year to 2 years, depending on the oil. They can go rancid. And the reason being is they really don't know what's in there and what's not in that because they haven't done the necessary testing to ensure and guarantee the quality. And that's really the difference between doTERRA's oils and everybody else's on the market. We're the only company that ensures and guarantees the quality. And it's not us testing them in-house. That could raise a lot of red flags. You can cut a lot of corners if you're doing that. It's two independent third-party labs that test all of our oils, every single batch. And, in fact, if you notice on our bottle, which I know you have, there's a dietary label on the actual bottle. Okay, they're so pure you can drink them, and we do. Whereas if you go to any health food store, pick them up there, it's going to say somewhere on that bottle, not for consumption, do not ingest, do not take internally, because they really have no idea what's in there. They don't know if there's pesticides like Roundup. They like to think there's not, but they don't know because they haven't done the testing. They don't know if there's other diluting agents or alcohols or weeds. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So if you want the absolute best oil, and there's a reason why I represent doTERRA, because nobody else is doing what they're doing in terms of the quality. So not only do you use a lot less, okay, and have a much bigger effect, but, you don't have the shelf life. There's no expiration because, and a good example I share, when you have pure oil, when they unearthed King Tut's tomb, Ron, he was found buried with 160 liters of essential oils.
160 liters?
We know, this is 4,000 years after the fact. So that's pretty cool just within itself. But even cooler than that is they were still potent 4,000 years later. So as long as you keep them out of like direct sunlight, which is why they come in the amber bottles, then they'll outlive you and your children's children's children. You use them way before then.
Wow.
So, but you know, with one of the things that we've kind of gotten out of doing when we teach classes is we'll actually have someone open up their medicine cabinet, and we'll just go through it and look at the expiration dates of different pharmaceuticals, over-the-counter medication, and 80-90% of it usually is expired. I just went through my dad's cabinet in California when I was down there, and he had stuff from 06, from 08, you know, but with the oils, you don't have to worry about that. And they're easily transportable. You don't need a prescription. You know, they have just as powerful properties without all the side effects and anything else negative that goes along with Western medicine.
Interesting. Now, the you know, we have ours down in our food storage with everything else, and my the one thing I'm kind of curious on is there a way to just put these in larger bottles? Because now I've got, you know, because we stocked up obviously on different ones, and so we, you know, we've got like 15 little bottles of one, you know, just one. Is there a way to just order it in bulk?
You know, the size that you have is the size that they come in. There's, you know, typically two sizes, but when you reorder, the size that it comes in is 15 milliliter, about 250 drops per bottle. Okay, you can always combine them into any bottle you want, and you know, the shelf life is still the same. There is no shelf life. And if you're keeping them in your cellar or in your food storage or cold storage area, basement, then they're not going to be in direct sunlight, and you know, you'll be just fine. So you don't even need to put them in amber bottles. But you can always combine them, you know, to take up less space or whatever, but they do not come in larger sizes from doTERRA.
I guess it's kind of handy to have them in small bottles, too, so you can just grab them and go.
Well, yeah, and it's more cost-effective, too. It'd be a lot harder for people to plan consistently if they had to have $500, $600 for a large, huge bottle. Whereas, you know, our average oil in the 15-milliliter size is between $15 and $25. And keep in mind, that's 250 drops. Lasts you quite a while. But like you, you know, I stock up a lot of extra, especially specific oils, in my food storage. But I just have the same 15-milliliter bottles.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're easy to barter with in that way, too. Because if you need some products, I mean, I honestly think if when people need these, if something drastic were to happen, whether it's some type of epidemic or emergency or, you know, natural disaster, you name it, if you didn't have access to doctors and medicine, which you won't, trust me, these things will be worth more than gold. You know, and
yeah,
a great barter product. So I stock up a lot of extra oil just for that purpose.
Interesting. Now, that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. I mean, I guess that it's easier to hand off the smaller, trade off the smaller bottles. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, I noticed that doTERRA or any other company, I mean, it has there's just a ton of different oils out there and different kinds and different names and all this stuff. But what are just like your basic, if somebody was to get started and wanted to at least have something in their food storage to start, what are some of the basics that they could get? What are some of the, you know, obviously like lavender, is that, I believe that's one of them. But
lavender is absolutely the Swiss Army knife of oils because it has so many different properties. It's often said with lavender, when in doubt, use lavender because it does have so many properties. But some other very common ones that I would recommend stocking up on and getting a good supply of them, and one, because you'll go through certain oils a lot faster, like lavender. You know, lavender is fantastic. It's a very calming oil. It's very relaxing, but it's great for anxiety and stress, depression. But it's also the best oil in the world, the best product in the world, in my opinion, for any kind of burn, okay? Because not only does it soothe and take away the pain almost immediately, but it's great for scarring. And it actually, again, university studies show that lavender will regenerate skin. So it'll heal much, much faster, all while taking away the pain. But it's not just for those three things either. It's great for bruising. The list goes on and on and on with lavender. And so lavender's one. Melaleuca, I would, you know, also known as tea tree oil, I would absolutely stock up on that. That's known as the fungus oil. It's extremely antifungal. It has a lot of other properties as well. But you know, a lot of disease, a lot of symptoms are caused by fungal issues, primarily candida in your gut. And so, you know, any kind of infections as well, melaleuca is your oil. Okay, whether it's a cut, whether it's a wound, whether it's an ingrown toenail, melaleuca is going to heal that about in a fourth of the time. I mean, it just heals so fast. And it's going to keep the infection at bay, and from a preventive standpoint, you know, or if I was starting to come down with something, I feel something coming on, I'm going to make myself my own antibiotic just in an empty gel capsule. And melaleuca is one of those things that I put in there. Oregano, because of antibiotic properties and antiviral properties, I'm putting that in there. Lemon, I'm putting in there. Probably a drop or two of peppermint. If I'm making one of what I call the power pill, if you want to knock something out really quick, you know, but from a preventative standpoint, and this is what I think everybody, the mindset they need to take is at all costs, try to prevent at first, because it's way easier not have to deal with an illness than having to contract something and then deal with it that way. And so let's see some other really, really common ones. Let me think here. I rosemary, eucalyptus. There's blends too, like Breathe. Breathe is very common. That's for anything respiratory related. One that I highly recommend, especially after all the classes I've taught and had individuals come up to me and say, "Hey, I have digestive issues," and there's a lot of diseases and a lot of ailments and symptoms that are stemmed from digestive disorders. Irritable bowel syndrome, even acid reflux and heartburn. Okay, and so the oil you want to carry for that is DigestZen. It's specifically formulated for digestive issues, whether it's nausea, whether it's one of those things that we already touched on. Anything digestive related, you're going to want to have that oil on hand, and that's a huge issue for especially Americans.
Oh man, and I'm telling you, I can vouch for that one. Every time we do an expo. I take that stuff with me because we never have time to eat healthy. Sometimes we're always running and gunning, and you know, people will bring in hamburgers or whatever, and you know, buy for the whole staff or whatever. So we've got all this food that we eat that's on the road food, fast food, junk food, and I'm just sick as a dog most of the time, and so I end up using a digestion just to help things.
If you're on the road a lot or you're doing fast, yeah, I know a lot of people that just carry digestion with them in their pocket at all times.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But from an emergency standpoint, if you have loved ones or children with asthma, you know, you're not going to have access to their inhaler if an emergency happened. And what I recommend for that is our blend called Breathe. That's a respiratory blend. And in classes, we've had people in our classes listening to us that didn't know a thing about oils that had asthma attacks. In our class that stopped it on the spot, dead in its tracks with just breathe. And then, you know, we have people call us after the class, say, "Hey, that Breathe oil stopped my son's asthma attack faster than his actual inhaler does." And, you know, without all the side effects. And so I would keep Breathe on hand. Another thing for lavender, bee stings, bug bites, any kind of rashes, skin conditions, you know, you want to combine that with like melaleuca. Yeah, for any pain type of issues, Deep Blue, maybe peppermint, wintergreen. There's probably several other oils too. But, blood pressure, you're looking at cypress or clove. This is for high blood pressure. You know, if you have high cholesterol, lemongrass is the best thing to stock up on. But there literally, Ron, is an oil for everything.
You know, now, and I agree with that. One of the things that everybody finds fascinating, we got about 10 minutes left, and I always find these fascinating. What are some of the incredible, some of the success stories that stand out to you? Because you've been doing this a long time, and you've been helping people with oils for a long time. So what are some of the success stories, I guess, that stand out?
Gee, let me think. I could pull probably 20, 30 stories from each oil. Like I said, I always hear about people's success stories because they're so excited. And, you know, they came to my class, even if I didn't know them from Adam, they'll call me up and they're like, "Hey, you're not going to believe what happened." And so just pulling at random. I don't know. I mean, anything in particular? Because people suffer from a lot of different things. I mean, I guess
let's say diabetes.
Diabetes. I don't have a lot of personal friends that have diabetes, but I know a lot of people that you know, that come and tell me about it helping. But in terms of personal friends, in terms of personal people that I've worked with, that I think would be pretty fascinating. We're talking like cancer. And again, I'm not making any claims, but you know, our frankincense was studied at the University of Oklahoma by Dr. H.K. Lynn, a renowned cancer scientist. And he discovered that our frankincense is anti-cancerous. And, you know, a specific study that he did that you can look up is on bladder cancer. But that's just the location of it. You know, cancer, no matter where it is pretty much similar across the board. But, MRSA, if we're speaking to your, you know, listener base, people that are self-reliant, people that are prepping and, you know, trying to take care of the family in emergency situations, something that is kind of eye-opening. A lot of people are aware of it, a lot of people are not, but superbugs, Ron. So superbugs like MRSA, which is, you know, stands for methicillin resistant.
That's what you can get at the hospital, right?
It's very common in hospitals. In fact, most people will contract it in a hospital environment, but then they admit themselves to the hospital and they expect the hospital to take care of it with you know, antibiotics. The problem and the reason it's a superbug, Ron, is because it's resistant to our antibiotics. And so about 25 to 40,000 people a year just in the United States die from MRSA because it's resistant to antibiotics, whereas the oils is not resistant to the oils. And so I have some really cool stories on MRSA. I'll share one briefly.
Yeah.
You know, my wife had a friend of hers that was reaching out online saying, hey, my dad has had MRSA for 7 weeks, or 6 weeks, I'm sorry, 6 weeks. Or he had been admitted into the hospital for 6 weeks now. And, of course, 6 weeks in the hospital with MRSA means you've been on six rounds of antibiotics because it's a week at a time.
Wow.
Okay? And so she was reaching out because she was desperate. She said, I've never even heard of MRSA. I don't know what it is. Does anybody know anything about MRSA? Because they're going to amputate my father's legs. And that's the next step to save his life. And so, you know, my wife said, you need to call my friend right now. And I called her. I said, well, you know, MRSA is a superbug. It's resistant to antibiotics, which is why he's been on it for 6 weeks with no success. And so all we did, and this is up in Idaho, and so we found a distributor in Idaho. They went and picked them up. They didn't have to wait for shipping or anything. And so they picked up oregano, melaleuca, and cypress. Cypress was more for blood circulation. Most MRSA patients have poor blood circulation. And so those are the three oils. And within about 7 days, he was checked out of the hospital, and they didn't have to amputate his legs. But that's what oils do, and we need people to wake up and get educated on essential oils and to know how to take care of their families naturally. And we have quite a few other MRSA stories from people that attended my classes, other people, you know, in right here in our county. And, you know, without fail, if I have a decent-sized class of 20 or more, you know, there's bound to be somebody that's either had MRSA or had a loved one with MRSA. And we've had some people where they've lost family members to MRSA. And so this would have been good information to know, you know, beforehand. But, you know, it's never too late to start.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, the I do have a friend that and I'm not sure, I'm going to have to talk with him because I'm not sure what he started taking, but, you know, he was recently diagnosed with diabetes and started taking different medications for that. And I know that he started using oils, doTERRA oils, and I'm not sure which ones he's using, but he did text me the other day and told me that he's off all his medications. And the doctor wanted to know why.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and just let me throw this out there, a little disclaimer that, of course, I'm not a doctor, so we don't tell people, hey, get off these medications. We say, here, try this. This has, you know, similar properties, but they're natural, and see for yourself. And, you know, nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head that you need to use essential oil. They come to that conclusion on their own because they work, and they slowly, you know, peel back or just, you know, cut out their their medications are on because they're having the same effect with, you know, or better with the oils. And so that's what I love about the oils. You're not going to OD on the oils. You know, they're very, very safe. I give them to my kids internally as a preventative. And, you know, the easiest way, let me just throw this out there. You know, you can use oils in three ways. You can use them topically, which most people are familiar with. You can use them internally, which most people are not familiar with because, you know, it says right on most bottles at the store that you can't ingest them. But ours you can. And essential oils are some of the healthiest things in the world that you can take internally with all their properties, you know, to boost your immune system and fight anything else you're facing. And so in those two ways, but you can also diffuse them. And doTERRA has a diffuser, which means it's taking the oils and it's dispersing them in the air in a vapor.
Okay. So just breathe them, right? Yep.
Yeah, that's the easiest application because you're going to cover like a 1,000-square-foot area, and instead of trying to remember to apply them to each and every member of your family daily, you do a diffuser, and they're all benefiting whether they like it or not. Anybody that walks in your house is going to benefit. And so depending on which oil you put in there, you know, like, for example, if you want to do a preventative, you put something like On Guard in there, which is our immune system builder that I talked about. You know, each of my children have a diffuser in their room. And so we allow them to use whatever oil they want, and they put them in nightly, whatever they feel like. You know, a lot of them diffuse lavender. My son loved to do On Guard. On Guard kind of smells like Christmas, you know, with the cinnamon, the clove, and the wild orange. But, it, you know, it's one, like I said, ever since I started taking, I take 2 drops a day. So we diffuse with the 2, but I take 2 drops internally every day right before bed. And like I said, I have not had a cold in 2 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay, so, I got called all the time before, so yeah. I know it's definitely helping.
Well, hey, we got just about, I don't know, 2-3 minutes left here. Why don't you tell us how people can find out more about the oils and doTERRA, where they can find it online, and let's kind of close it out that way.
Well, also, anything that you might suggest for Christmas.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you bet. You know, and you know, December, believe it or not, is one of our biggest months because they make such great gifts. And it's not just because they smell good. Some, you know, smell fantastic. Some, like oregano, do not. But they make great gifts because, you know, it's a great way to introduce a family or loved one or neighbor to essential oils. Because once they start using them, you know, most likely they're never going to go back. In terms of how to find out more information, you can go to Try doTERRA. So it's www.try.doTERRA, and doTERRA is spelled DOTERRA.com. So trydoTERRA.com. You can even request a free sample there. It has tons and tons of information content, you know, essential oil content on specific oils and properties and studies and you know, more than you want to know. But that's probably one of the greatest sites to go to. If you want to watch an online class, the webinar system that we have set up right now, if you want to watch a live webinar on essential oils, on how to incorporate them into your life and your family's life, you can go to doTERRAwebinar.com. And, you know, it has a drop down there, so you can choose a class time that works around your schedule at your convenience. It's only about 45 minutes. You can do it in your pajamas at home, pretty easy. And that's the best way to get educated. And then in terms of what oils would make best Christmas gifts, you know, we actually have a blend that only comes out in December, and it's called Holiday Joy. And so that's a fantastic one, and you're getting a lot of properties. Another one that makes a great gift that I highly recommend is we have what's called the Introduction Pack or Intro Pack. It has 3 essential oils there, lemon, lavender, and peppermint, okay? And there's a lot of properties, you know, in those compounds, in each one of those oils that you can use for a lot of different things within your family. But what most people like to use it for, and I know this is a big deal for your listeners because it pretty much is with the entire nation, the entire world, allergies. And there's certain, you know, seasons where your allergies will flare up. A lot of people have different allergies year-round. But that pack, that intro pack with a lemon, lavender, peppermint, I mean, the whole pack is only $25. And those three oils are what we use day in, day out for anyone that suffers through allergies. And it's as simple as putting, you know, two drops each of the lemon, lavender, pepper into an empty gel capsule. If you don't have capsules, go ahead and put it into your water and drink it. You know, if you have gel capsules once a day in the morning, and watch what happens to your allergies. And you don't take my word for it. You guys can go try it. So.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. TryDoTerra.com. Jared, I really appreciate you coming on. What's that?
You bet. If you have questions, you know, there's a number on TryDoTerra. You know, there's a form that you can fill out as well. And like I said, people can request a free sample if they want to try it. And we'll match up that sample based on the individual, you know, depending on what they need or want.
Well, there you
go. Yeah,
I mean, you can't argue with that, right? So, I mean, if you're skeptical about it, you've got an ailment, go to TryDoTerra.com, put it in, and they'll send you a free sample. Problem solved.
Yeah, it's completely on up, shipping and everything.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and you have a Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you before the holiday.
You too, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Take care, Jared. All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Sweet.
All right. Well, that was Jared Winger from doTERRA and The Jared.
The Jared.
The
yep.
Jared. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, and then when we get back from the commercial break, we're going to go live into our interview. Well, not really an interview, an update with Al and his wife, Anne, who are the Al's the technical manager for Backwoods Home. So let's go ahead and hit this commercial, and then we will be back.
Sounds good.
If everything you eat comes out of boxes stored in your freezer, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo. If you're afraid to take out your own garbage because the neighbor kids might beat you up, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
Over 50 training classes are coming to the Self-Reliance Expo. This family-friendly event focuses on traditional values and long-forgotten skills. Gardening, alternative home building, off-grid living, food preservation, cooking with the sun, self-defense classes, canine demos, and more.
If you can kill a houseplant just by looking at it, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
The Self-Reliance Expo is fun for the whole family and is the largest of its kind in the nation. Learn how to do it yourself. Learn how to defend yourself. Save money. Save a life.
If the only screwdriver you own is made of orange juice and vodka, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
It's the Self-Reliance Expo, coming soon. Find out more by going to SelfRelianceExpo.com. That's SelfRelianceExpo.com.
All right, we're back from our commercial with Colorado Ron, and this is Bubba DaVinci, and you're listening to Self-Reliance Exposed. Oh, man, I hate commercials, Colorado.
You know it.
Yeah, it's they're unfortunately long enough that you can think that you have time to go do something, but too short to actually go do anything.
I know. And you're always worried that you're not going to get back in time.
Yeah, I know. So now that we're back, we're going to go ahead and, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, we had our main interview today, and then now we're going to be doing kind of an update slash interview. About 9 months ago, Colorado Ron and I interviewed some of the people from Backwoods Home, and they were talking about taking Backwoods Home magazine digital. And both of us, Colorado Ron, you use your iPad pretty frequently.
I do. Since I've gotten it, I use that almost more than I use my laptop now.
And I'm the same way because I travel so much. The iPad is kind of my window to the world for reading books and magazines and listening to my music and my movies, because who wants to pull out that damn laptop when you're driving or when you're sitting on a plane?
Right. Well, and we made a trip, wasn't very long ago, we made a trip, and I tried to go with just my iPad. I don't know if you remember that, but I'm always trying to figure out how to get lighter and leaner and meaner. And so I tried to go with just my iPad. Unfortunately, there was a few things that I needed my iPad for, so that didn't really work. I love it. I take it with me everywhere.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to contact Al Boley and his wife, Ann Boley. And Al is the technology manager for Backwoods Home, and he's going to give us an update on what's going on with that. So here we go. Me being all right. Technical again, I'm going to try to
hold
get
on,
them
everybody.
The call. I know. Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have this all set up so it's easy. Not promising much, but yeah, one day. All right, let's see if we connect here. Well, at least I got it to ring. That's 50% of the battle.
Hello.
Hi, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Bubba Da Vinci and Colorado Ron. How are you guys today?
Oh, real good. How are you?
We're doing fine, thank you. How's everything in the West Coast in Oregon?
It's starting to rain. It's pretty dark. A little cool at times, but still some sunny days, definitely.
Well, wonderful. So we were just talking about this. Now, Al, let me kind of run through this. You and Ann and your two kids were originally from Michigan. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And
we lived there our whole lives.
Okay. And then you guys moved to Oregon for the past 3 years, you've been the technology manager for Backwoods Home. Is that right?
I've actually been their technology manager since about April.
Oh, okay.
Of this year. I came out and I was working with Elk Valley Rancheria down in Crescent City, California, in their IT department. And then after about a little over a year, I kind of switched jobs, so to speak, to I was working with a computer repair shop here in Brookings, Oregon, and then eventually our shop bought a repair shop up in Gold Beach, and one of the repair shop's clients is Backwoods Home. So I got to be the Gold Beach guy, if you will, and go open that shop, close it at night, and do the business support in the area. For the most part. And so I went and met Dave and went and helped them out with some computer stuff. And he just took a liking to me and saw that I knew some stuff about Apple. And he kind of just
snagged
me, you know, threw me an offer. And it was nice. So.
Well, great. So, you know, I was just telling the audience about 9 months ago, we're talking with some of the people at Backwoods Home, and they had mentioned to us that one of the main things that they wanted to do for 2012 was to take Backwoods Home digital. And it sounds like you've been a fairly key component on that. And I know Colorado and I pretty much live digitally.
Yeah. You're already doing, you know, you're into the podcasts and, you know, so you're getting to all the latest and greatest devices.
Yeah, well, and then we travel a lot. We both travel for shows, and I travel overseas a lot. And so, unfortunately, you really can't get away from the digital generation. It's either you embrace it or you have no information is basically what it is nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now,
it's better to
go ahead.
Leverage it.
Yeah. So
it's just so convenient.
Right. So can you go through it? Like, where are we at Backwoods Home with the going digital as far as taking our content digital? Like on the Kindle and the Nook. The Kindle and the Nook are looking at probably being one of the most popular devices again this year for Christmas. So where are we at with the Kindle and the Nook?
Well, the subscription is available on the Kindle only. The Nook, unfortunately, you cannot subscribe to the magazine. The Amazon Kindle subscription has been available for about 4 issues, possibly 5. I know that Sammy Duffy was instrumental in the beginning stages of that. You know, he really kind of broke the ice and got that ball rolling. I came along and helped out with kind of streamlining that process and also exploring what needed to be done to do the books and on the various platforms, you know, in addition to just Kindle. Now there's over 20 back issues available for purchase on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble website, which is really cool. We're going to be, you know, theoretically someday all the way back to issue number one. We'd like to make all that available because, I mean, some of that you can't even get. You know, they don't have the print issues available. So, but with their last remaining copy of some of those early issues, we can get things converted over and bring them back to life, if you will.
So now you said that where are you in the process with the Nook on being able to do subscriptions on the Nook?
We haven't really explored that a lot because in the research that I myself and a few others have done, it's just not straightforward like with Amazon's and even Apple. They give you information about what to do if you want to, you know, offer your magazine on the device. But for some reason, the Nook, it doesn't really seem, you know, we couldn't find a whole lot of information. And I think you got to go through a traditional publisher. And so, you know, we haven't really explored that to the fullest. We've been just keeping ourselves busy with, you know, all these other avenues that are obvious to us, you know. And so, you know, just making our – and you know, honestly, you know, the Barnes & Noble interface for working, you know, with the digital publications is not as 100%, shall we say. It's a little bit lacking, and that's, you know, made things a little more difficult. So,
okay. What about now? The iPad Mini has just come out, and I know, you know, and the iPad has been out. There have three editions already with the iPad, and with their new cool Retina display, I know that it makes it very easy to read, and it's been very, very popular. Another very popular purchase item. Where are we both on back issues being up on the iPad, and where are we with getting a subscription via iPad?
Yeah, the devices have awesome screens. It's going to make it a lot, you know, it makes it possible basically to use the actual design and layout, fonts, pictures, everything just the way it is in the print issue and get that converted over. We currently have the Emergency Preparedness and Survival Guide converted over and up on Apple's iBookstore. The back issues that we've done already for the Amazon and for the Barnes & Noble sites, we're going to be making a big push now to get as many of those up before the holidays as we can. You know, I'd like to think we could get, you know, at least 5 or 10, you know. So that's going to be pretty exciting to see those, you know, start showing up. And the magazine, we are in the process of getting that on Apple Newsstand. I've been talking with a third-party company that assists in doing that. If you try to do it yourself, it's going to take longer, a lot longer. You do have all the tools available, you know, but it's quite complicated to some extent. So we're going to be smart about it and efficient about it and evaluated a number of options One in particular, you know, I've already been in talks with the person in sales and had a demo just the other day about their product, and that's going to help us get our goal is to get in newsstand before the holidays.
Okay, so another thing with digital though is. You know, it's just not about uploading issues and everything else. It's also about taking advantage of all the other social media and everything that's out there so you can make sure you stay in contact with the customer base. Now, I find this interesting that Anne, your wife, who's also with us, has been helping with that process. Is that correct, Anne?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just like you guys, I pretty much live online. So I found that a lot of people, there's either the people that embrace the social media and participate in it, and the ones that maybe they have a Facebook page or a Twitter account, but they don't really use it. And what we're trying to do is get and they're doing better and better all the time. If you've been on Beckwith's Home's Facebook page, they're posting more often. They're posting a combination of things, different. Some personal mixed with business, which is really good because, you know, you have to show your personal side, and that just creates this more camaraderie with their readership, and I think people really respond well to that.
And I agree 100%. And for those, yeah, we always plug this at the end. So I mean, for those of you who want to go and check out what's on the Facebook page, it's facebook.com/BH. Mag is how you have to type it in, or if you type in Backwoods Home Magazine into the search bar, you'll have to go through a bunch of stuff, but you will find it on there. Now, now another interesting thing, I want to kind of jump off the digital update for a second, Ann. And now you are a food writer and a culinary instructor. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you also run your website, it's thegourmetguide.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just kind of my my business site. I do, I kind of teach classes. I've done a little bit of catering, anything related to food, especially being in a smaller town on the coast. I get a lot of different opportunities, get to participate in cooking contests and all kinds of things. So.
And that's very cool. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, well, we love food.
Yeah, we do love food.
Yeah, you have to love food, you know, to survive.
Now,
I picked an easy subject.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Now you teach things like how to make cheese and how to make bread, and also like things like kraut, which Colorado Ron and I have been talking a lot about recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, my parents we always had a huge garden, and they were canning back when I, as a young person, I didn't think it was very cool to have to pick green beans and can in the 90-degree heat. But they thought it was fun, and they were always making things, homemade ketchup. And, you know, it maybe when I was young, I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. Now I just love it. I think it's a lot of fun to do things like making your own cheese. Sure, you don't have to, but once you understand the process, it's like people that get into beer making. It's just fun to do it yourself, to have something that's customized, and also to kind of know how to do these things, you know, if you need to.
Now, here's one thing that I found interesting, and I think it'll be interesting for our audience. Now, you said that you had a garden and you were sort of prepping / you lived a self-reliant lifestyle when you lived in Michigan. But since you guys have recently moved out to Oregon, you guys haven't been able to really get right back into it right away because you had to leave everything behind as part
right.
of the move. I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, we do. I was going to say I do some things. I just don't have like a huge stacked pantry full of things because, you know, just having things like the jars, mason jars, and all that stuff that, you know, it's like starting all over again. But out here in Oregon, much like parts of Michigan, the foraging is really great. So we still participate in you know, we got all our blackberries for the year by going out and picking them and, you know, getting into fishing and crabbing and finding out about mushrooms. There's a lot right here that we're learning about. I still do, you know, a lot of my own food. I just don't have a stockpile of it at the moment. That's something that I'm hoping to get soon because we're hoping to have our own garden and kind of get back into it. It was just the change, the lifestyle change that kind of threw me for a little bit. So.
No, and you know something, I think it's very interesting because we talk all the time, you know, with people mm-hmm. who are prepared, and you don't really realize what it would be like to move to a completely different area and have to learn everything all over again. Maybe not the canning skill, because that's translate, but what to buy, where to buy it, you know, what you can grow, what you can't grow. I mean, it's basically like learning all the basics all over again.
Well, yeah, and it's really important for me to buy as much organic or find the local foods as much as possible. So I've done a lot of that, just finding out if I can't catch the fish, then finding out who's got extra fish I can buy and who's got the chickens where I can get the good eggs and quail eggs. And I find a lot of things. So that, in a way, is foraging too, because I've got to find out where everything is. So I'm the type of person, I'll travel 100 miles if I can't find the right ingredients for something that I'm making. So I'm food obsessed, I guess.
Well, you mentioned quail eggs. Why they hunt for quail eggs?
Oh, just kind of for catering and things. It's just something different. You know, if you're in the city and you want to buy quail eggs, they're like $12 for a little package, and it's nice to find things here where there's a farmer that will sell you things for $2 or $3, and you know you're still eating better than if you're in the city. So that's just one of those things that it's nice to know too, how to pamper yourself. You know, not just all applesauce and
pork chops.
You know, it's nice to know how to appreciate the really good quality that grows and it can be found around you.
Well, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, do you mind if we give your – because you do list classes and things up on your website. Is it okay to give your website out, Ann?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay. So you can find Ann's information for her business at www.thegourmetguide.com. Is that accurate?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you very much for the update and for allowing us to meet you guys. We found it very, very interesting. And,
it was fun. And
hopefully what we'll do is we'll check back in with you, like, right after the Christmas holiday, and we can get another update on what's going on in the digital front. And maybe we'll even hear what Ann's got going from the Facebook side, if we got any new exciting things going on.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Well, take care. Bye.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
Taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Ad Ester, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, we're back with Self Reliance Exposed with Colorado Rod and Bubba DaVinci. Hey, Colorado.
How's it going?
All right. So, you know, before we left with Al and Ann, you know, we should have said we were going to a commercial break and we were going to do something weird. And we just thought it'd be fun to slap it in there and then talk about it after the fact. And Colorado, you're younger than I am, but I'm sure you remember when you were a kid, these Real Men of Genius commercials. Do you remember them?
I do. I do remember them. Yes, the classics.
And so, yeah, I was surfing the net the other day, and when I was doing it, I found this website that basically has every one of these ads that were created. Yeah, and these ads started back in 1998 as a joke spot that was called Real American Heroes. And if I get some of the older ones.
They started in 98?
1998.
Oh, well, you said, I'm sure, when you were a kid. I was 98, man. I was already married.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, it was a while ago. I mean, I guess for some reason it seems a lot longer ago than. When they originally started in 98, they were Real American. It was Real American Heroes, and they were doing, like, the firemen and things like that. And it just became a runaway success for Anheuser-Busch. And, then they went to Real Men of Genius and started covering some of these other things. And there were, I think there were a total of 159 of these commercials made, total.
Wow.
But the heroes were the first set, and then they went on to the Real Men of Genius afterwards that did it. And they were, 60-second radio spots that they did. And here's the thing that most people don't know. The guy who does Real Men, the singer.
Please don't sing that again.
Oh, come on. Real Men. Come on. This is my opportunity to become a singer, because Lord knows my voice.
No, it's not.
My voice is not prepared for this. Anyway, the guy that does this, did these things, was the lead singer I can't even remember the name of the band. Sang Eye of the Tiger. Survivor.
Survivor. Okay.
That's where I got the dates from, because Survivor, Dave Bickler, I think was his name, was in Survivor from like 77 to 83. And so when I was thinking about when it started, I was thinking Eye of the Tiger and all that other stuff. But anyway, David Bickler was the voice of that. That did the thing. And I personally believe, although I couldn't confirm it, he probably made more money off these commercials than he ever did with Survivor.
I'm sure. Well, I don't know. Eye of the Tiger is...
Well, there's a lot of money in there, but who knows? Usually with things like this, you find out that, the contract was owned by someone else and the artist didn't get a lot because, I mean, I can't remember. I mean, people can send the information. Outside of Eye of the Tiger, I can't think of a single song that Survivor ever did.
Yeah, but it made the Rockies. I mean, that's what made Rocky.
Is that what it was from? I could not remember what movie it was from.
Yeah.
The Tiger. I'm not going to sing it. Sorry.
Don't.
Anyway, so what you guys just heard was the first one that we're going to run. And every week we're going to end the show, the last couple minutes of the show, and we're going to play a different one. Just to have some fun with it. And you guys, if you guys want to write us and let us know what you think of the commercials, we're not promoting beer. We're not promoting any of that stuff. We're not promoting Anheuser-Busch. It was a fun, nostalgic set of commercials, and I just thought it was really cheesy.
No, yeah, it was great. No, yeah, that brings back a lot of memories.
Well, and I thought it was
kind of the highlight of football, wasn't it? Just to see which commercial they had.
Yeah, because the videos were just as good as the sound bit. Yeah, and since we had talked about me trapping earlier, it got me thinking about the fur, and then that's what made me pull this one up and populate it. Anyway, it was great having Jared on earlier. Jared is always a great guest and always gives us tons and tons of good information.
Yep.
And then we really appreciate Al and Ann coming on and giving us updates on what's going on in the digital frontier for Backwoods Home.
Awesome. It was a lot of fun. Learned a lot today. Took a lot of notes.
Now, I have to admit, I don't have a clue who's on next week. We'll get that information up on Facebook ASAP. And then on top of that, I know that every single week going up to Christmas, we're going to try to get at least one vendor on, if not two. to talk about potential things that you as a prepper can get for yourself or your family in the, you know, with prepping goods, because prepping makes good gifts.
Awesome. Yes, it does. That's what I give.
That's right. Yeah, prepare. Yeah, you're preparing to help, you know, other people and preparing to help yourself, and that's always a good gift.
That's right.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you have anything else, Colorado Ron, before we go through the roll call?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. So, Colorado Ron, if people want to get you on Facebook, where do they find you?
Colorado Ron page. It's facebook.com/Colorado Ron page.
Okay. And if you want to find Bubba Da Vinci on Facebook, just type in Bubba Da Vinci. That's Self-Reliance Expo. You can find that Self-Reliance Expo. And Backwoods Home Mag is Backwoods Home Mag. Is or type in the whole name and you'll find it there. And then for our websites, where can they find Self-Reliance Expo?
www.selfreliancexpo.com.
And Backwoods Home Magazine is www.backwoodshomemagazine.com. Hey, guys, we thank you very much for joining us this week. And be safe. Keep your prepping up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.